Go ahead.
About the second one. Okay, so yeah, I just want to make some questions about the 30 map, right? And to make myself more clear. Let's see what questions I have. Right. Okay. I see. So the first question is in the storage workload characteristics, which is section 3. So, well, first, so there is here somewhere that says, for example, 25% additional space is often available. Are there any, this is a memento, or this is a well-known, this is a,
you can look for references, but 25% is not a number that I would find. What you probably would find is something like anywhere from 10 to 50%.
To 50%.
Even 100% sometimes, right, of extra space, because especially, for instance, with database, for transaction performance, you need spindles.
Okay.
And the spindles come with a specific storage capacity.
And they
don't use all that much capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Those are the kinds of things that you will see. So that's why we don't have a reference there.
Okay.
If there was a reference, we would have put it in.
Okay.
So it's just something which we are claiming at this point in the paper as a reasonable claim.
I see. The thing is, I'm trying to trying to come up with the questions beforehand. So this is, for me, this is one question.
You had to come up with an answer similar to the one that I just right, because no one can give the answer, an absolute answer that applies everywhere.
Of course.
So what you need to say is things like, okay, if you're looking at a database workload, for instance, then transaction performance for database workloads depends on the number of spindles you have, number of independent spindles you have, each of which can serve a transaction at the same time. That dictates how much capacity your storage system would be provisioned with, and typically you have an over-provisioned capacity because of the spindles requirements.
Okay. So, well, the other comment is that I like this formula for perfect energy proportionality, which is based on the maximum workload or maximum work.
Oh, there you are. You made it.
And, power peak. Are you right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Do you know what this meeting is about?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's good.
Okay. So about this one, there is this experiment the overlap in the daily working set for all of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Male homies, WebVM, and
Yes.
So I don't remember exactly what was the point, but I didn't understand something. I guess it's I had trouble understanding how this experiment was done. I didn't understand because you mentioned three things. So first, the reads and writes against the working set.
Mm-hmm.
Then reads against the working set. I guess assuming that you can upload the writes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And reads against working set recently uploaded writes and recent missed writes.
Missed reads.
Mm-hmm. Which is those misses that occur before,
mm-hmm.
and should occur now, but we upload those to the active.
Yes.
Okay, so what is this 1, 3, 5, 7, 14, and 20 days?
How much history?
How much history? Which is the working set for 1 day, for instance?
Yes, or for 7 days.
Yes, and I also read that the definition of working set is conservative. It's just a number or all the blocks that were accessed in that time.
Yep. Yeah. So yeah, I mean the point of that graph is to just show the stability of the working set as by itself stability when you upload writes, when you offload reads, those kind of things.
Okay. Okay. You can understand. The other thing is that SFCMAP assumes one-to-one mapping between virtual disk and physical disk. Is that right?
Yes.
I mean, one volume is a
map to one.
Map exactly to one physical
one. Yes. Which is different than what, you know, there are two alternate architectures that we propose in that NSF proposal.
Yes, I propose.
Where there is a one-to-three mapping or one-to-n mapping. In this case, we're just assuming one-to-one mapping.
Okay. Okay. Okay, one thing, so I guess the thing is that we are detecting past history, and that's what we call our working set. So we're assuming that that working set is exactly the data that will be accessed in the near future.
Mm.
And that's exactly what we are replicating.
We are not assuming that that is the data that will be used in the future. We are saying that the data that's used in the future will overlap substantially with that.
Okay. Yeah. But it seems, so we do replicas of the working set at the beginning of the, when it's, I don't know, when the...
When SRC map is installed.
It's installed.
Yeah.
Right. So... I see. So we are assuming that the working set is always stable, right, in some sense, because after we do the replicas, we don't change that anymore.
We do, because we offload the writes, and we offload misreads also to the working set replica.
Okay, and that offloaded now are part of the working set.
Yes.
I see.
And there has to be eviction that perhaps takes place depending on the additional space available for at that time for offloading. So if there is no space, then you need to evict something else, and we could use some sort of an LRU to do that.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Yes. That is the idea in this, at least in this work, that's what we're doing.
Okay.
Ricardo, you have a comment, something?
No, I was thinking something about the algorithm. I was trying to remember the algorithm.
Oh, the actual algorithm of the
application? The algorithm will be the big part of the permitting. So,
okay.
So wait till then.
We need to work on it together because it's been a while since I actually understood the algorithm.
Okay, so here's the algorithm. I think I have some other questions, but I think the algorithm is a tough part of the
paper. For me, it was by billion times easier to read the code. I guess you can read the code.
No.
Easier. It shouldn't be that way, but it's much easier than reading this.
Well, I don't think so.
Well, you, Ricardo, you have special ability to read code.
Yeah. It's just like reading code.
Not really. I mean, this is more abstract than the code, right? I mean,
yeah, but the code is,
you cannot read in the code a graph and the edges. And
that was quick, but you're imagining.
Right. Well, anyway, so, okay. So the algorithm, right? So the algorithm has two parts, I guess. The first part is selecting, so I guess the algorithms assume that we already have the working set for each of the volumes,
mm-hmm.
right? So the first part of the algorithm is create replicas for each of these working sets.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is to create this, okay, so the creation of these replicas will be based on the probability that each volume will be turned off or spawned down at any given time. And
yeah.
that will be based on the IO that goes to that working set, the working set size.
Stability.
Yes, this PPR was
power performance ratio.
The power performance ratio,
mm-hmm.
right? And the number of misses, which is something I didn't understand very well.
Yeah, that's related to the stability. So the more stable the workload is.
And how do we measure that?
If you have a lot of read misses, then that means that the working set is not stable.
Okay, in the previous consolidation time, let's say.
Yeah, let's say. Yeah, previous consolidation.
But that, I mean, because the thing is that at this point, when we are doing this,
mm-hmm.
We don't really have a consolidation time.
That's a very good point, yeah. That's a problem. We don't have any read misses at that point. I think the reason we put that in was if we want to do it again, then we
okay.
can use this information.
Okay.
But you're right. I mean, that information is not available at the very beginning when you're creating some working set. Yeah. But you can also imagine that you somehow have
to calculate that.
You
yeah,
calculate the read misses as you're calculating the working set.
In the architecture. You're assuming there is somewhere here in the virtualized in the storage virtualization manager there is a load monitor from which you assume you get a lot of information.
Yes.
Probably this could be one of those.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that is included right now in current virtualization.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. So given these probabilities, right? So let me see. So the working set, the first probability is that if the working set is big, the idea is that the probability of spinning down some disk with a working set big is lower because then it is possible to move that working
yeah.
set, right? The performance power ratio is also important because if you have a disk that is really good at power efficiency,
mm-hmm.
probably you don't want to spin down that disk. Right?
Yes.
And especially when I use it. So I guess that's the idea of that parameter.
Yeah, I mean, you can think of it as just the number of drives, right? If you have different volumes, different volumes have different number of drives. There are some volumes which have small number of drives, and you don't save much power by spinning the volume down because there are very few drives in that volume. But that's here we are talking about power performance ratio of a single drive, but you could generalize it to multiple drives,
mm-hmm.
which it could be more intuitive to explain it that way.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is the average long-term IO workload intensity, which is how do you call this letter? Rho.
Rho.
Rho. Mm-hmm. Rho means which is average long-term I workload density. So the idea is that if you have a very intensive workload, then it's less likely that that disk is spinning down because our disk cannot take care of that bandwidth requirement. Okay. So there is, I don't know if how is. Okay, so it seems like the throughput or the bandwidth required for serve some workload is not accounted in the algorithm of selecting the target for the replicant.
That's IO intensity, right?
Yes, but the thing is that so how are we using the bandwidth of the disk? My point is that what I'm saying is that there is no relation between this workload intensity, right? Or we are not making a relation between this workload intensity and the bandwidth of the disk.
And the original disk.
Yes. Or well, the physical bottom.
Yeah, why is it important to do that?
Because the thing is that if we upload, let's say that, because this is, I guess this is, okay. So we have, let's say, n volume, and all of them have the same workload intensity, right?
Okay.
Okay, and let's say that that workload intensity is really high.
Okay.
It's probably a little bit lower than the bandwidth of disk, okay, or the physical volume.
Okay.
So if we consolidate those workloads or those working sets in n minus n disk,
which means the probability of all of these are the same.
The same.
Okay.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So if we consolidate that in few disks. Then I think we solved this wrong, but I'm trying to understand. So then the disk bandwidth won't be enough to serve all those workloads.
Yeah. So we had sub volume.
At the moment we replicate, we don't consider bandwidth.
Okay.
But for turning off disk, at the moment we start considering bandwidth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing is that if you consider this, well, probably it doesn't make sense. I see.
For replication is just about space and the probability, and that probability.
But that's a good point. I mean, does considering bandwidth add value to when creating replicas itself?
Yeah, the thing is that probably you are moving data that you will never use because the disk doesn't have the bandwidth to serve that anyway.
I'm not sure now, but I guess somehow that information is included in the probability calculation, but I don't know exactly how.
Yeah.
But I remember that discussion with Axel.
So there is this power performance ratio.
Yes, that's the only.
Where we use the bandwidth. Where we use the IO ops of the actual disk. So a disk which consumes less power and provides more bandwidth has a lower probability of getting a replica. So that addresses that.
We're talking about the bandwidth of the disk.
Bandwidth of the disk.
We're talking about the bandwidth of the workload.
No, bandwidth of the disk.
We're talking about the both things.
No.
The
power. There's something wrong because for that in the code, we're using bandwidth of the workload.
In the power performance ratio?
Yes.
Yeah, that's wrong.
That's wrong.
Because the performance there should be the performance of the disk.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the workload doesn't have any energy, right?
I mean, but this probability is for each replica or for each disk?
For each replica. For each
disk.
For
each
disk.
Volume.
Yes.
Yeah. That's something I don't understand either. I mean, it seems like here, in the definition of the probability, you talk about the virtual disk, or virtual volume.
Yeah, by the way, this is not my stuff, right? I mean,
right.
It's our stuff, and if you want to say some specific person, it's probably Akshat. Just to clarify,
okay.
I mean, I'm not taking any offense that
I wish
it were my stuff, actually, but it's not.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a good thing, right? So, yeah, but the thing is that then we changed that to be. I mean, we use that probability with no difference between virtual volumes and physical volumes,
mm-hmm.
which I think.
I mean, logical volumes.
I mean, just logical volume.
That's for logical volume, the probability.
The probability is for
logical volume and for specific cases related to physical volume. For instance, the power performance ratio is related to the physical volume that is mapped to that specific logical volume for which we are computing the probability.
That works because we have a one-to-one map.
Yes.
Otherwise, it won't work.
It won't work. You're right.
Okay. Yeah, that's important because
it's for replicas. Because here it's sourcing replicas.
No, no, but this figure is for something different, for replica identification.
Yeah, well, but still, no, this is for.
No, because the thing is that when you calculate this, there is no replica. Right? This is still no replica.
Here is sorting. No, well, actually, here is the same. Here is sorting virtual disks. In a virtual disk, there is a virtual disk for each replica.
There is a logical volume for each replica, and the other way around.
There are multiple replicas.
There are multiple
each logical volume.
Exactly. 1 to n.
A replica of VI on MJ. There are virtual disks and M disks.
Logical volumes and physical volumes.
And a replica is a B disk.
Yes,
and then we are giving probabilities to B disk. So we're giving probabilities to replicas.
Yes, but it turns out that the mapping between logical volumes and physical volumes is 1 to 1. So the probability of
the thing is that for each workload we can have more than one replica.
Yes.
I mean we can actually split it.
Okay. What? Say that again?
I mean a whole disk we split it in stuff we call replicas.
Yeah.
And we calculate this probability for each one of these pieces.
Yes. Yes.
So it shouldn't be per disk.
For each piece, yes, that's right. But the power performance ratio
is
created from the disk to which it is mapped.
Mm.
Okay.
Just that component is related to the physical volume to which this sub-volume, logical volume, is mapped to.
No, but this is, I mean, you calculate the probabilities before mapping.
No, this the original. There is always an original mapping, right? So if you have let's say /homes, it is the primary copy is resident on some disk, right? The web VM is resident on specific disk. The original full data is already mapped to some disk.
Okay.
So
if I'm creating probability for let's say web VM, then in that calculation, I will use the power performance ratio of the disk to which the primary is mapped.
Yeah, there is a point. There is a point that a replica can be replicated in more than one disk.
Yeah, but we are talking about the entire data because the replica are only working set replicas. It's not the whole data.
All the replicas will have the same value of probability.
Yes.
For the same.
Yes.
So wait a second. So
well, by the way, I mean I don't see why you need to think about replicas probabilities for replicas. You just think about probabilities for the logical volume.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think about probabilities for the replicas of the logical volume.
Okay. We have too many names for too few things, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Can I explain you what I remember now exactly what we're doing in code?
Okay.
We have a lot of workloads, a lot of working sets.
We have a lot of data sets.
Data sets.
Data sets.
You have a lot of data sets.
So wait, don't because you introduce a new name.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, this is that VDisk stuff.
VDisk, yeah. VDisk is the data set.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the logical volume.
Logical volume, also
okay.
The same thing, yeah. So we can call it logical volume.
Okay.
We have a bunch of logical
volume. So we have a list of
logical volume.
Logical volume.
Yes.
Okay.
And these are VDisk.
Yeah, these are VDisk.
Yes.
Wait,
we have in the other place, we have a mini disk.
What is the difference between VDisk and logical volume?
They are the same.
Okay. And why? Okay.
So for the
there is a one-to-one mapping here.
No, actually we can put these in two places.
No, you do not put the entire logical volume in two places. You only put the working set.
Well, yeah, I mean the working set.
Working set is different than logical volume. Working set of a logical volume is a subset of the logical volume.
Okay.
But I'm talking about the original data.
Yes.
There is a one-to-one mapping.
Yes.
Correct?
Original. Yeah. But at the moment we do the sorting for the algorithm. We see each one of these pieces as
We haven't talked about the algorithm yet.
No algorithm
is used for the algorithm.
That's fine, but we're trying to understand what is working set, logical volume, physical volume, and what is the mapping between them.
Okay.
We haven't gone to the algorithm yet, but maybe what you're saying is we can come back to that when we discuss the algorithm.
Things that okay in the code for
mm-hmm.
before we sort stuff and everything,
mm-hmm.
we assign a probability to each one of these pieces.
The logical volume.
I mean, you have the complete working set, and you cut it in pieces.
You have the complete logical volume.
Yeah.
Not the working set, right?
The complete logical
volume, you split it into pieces,
exactly.
Assign a probability
to each one of these pieces.
Okay,
yes.
So wait a second. So you have how many working sets you have per logical volume?
That depends on some limits we put. For example, we can say the maximum size of a piece is, let's say, 1 gig. So you can have...
Why?
I don't know. That's something, I guess, in the paper.
So do you understand why logical volume is split into sub-volumes?
Because of fragmentation?
No.
There is a section which talks about optimizations to basic SRC map.
Yeah.
Did you read that?
Yeah,
that's where we talk about that.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't got there because I didn't understand very well the algorithm.
And actually, we don't...
So let's not worry about the sub-volumes. Right?
Okay.
So
let's imagine it's a whole disk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And understand it, and then sub-volume is just an optimization to the whole thing.
Okay, so we have these logical volumes, and inside these logical volumes we have multiple working sets.
One working set.
Okay. I see.
So
that working set is mapped to
many disks.
Physical volumes. Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. That makes sense. So that means that we're assigning these probabilities not even to the logical volume, but we're assigning these probabilities to the working set.
To the working set, yeah. I mean, that's these probabilities is a characteristic of the load of the working set.
We can think of it as assigning probabilities to working set, but there is no reason to. You can just think of assigning probabilities to the logical volumes.
But the thing is that, for instance, the mean value is something related to the working set.
Related to the working set of that volume, but the probability is for that volume. Just like the power performance ratio is related to the physical volume for that logical volume, but the probability is with respect to the logical volume.
Because
there is also the working set size. Working set size for that specific logical volume, but the probability is related to the logical volume. I think it's much easier to understand it if you think of it that way.
That makes sense. And
yeah,
the thing is that it's the same because there is a one-to-one mapping. I mean, you have only one working set for one logical volume, so
yeah,
so it's the same.
Yeah. We're giving a probability to this relationship, actually.
No.
Even worse.
No, we're just giving a probability the probability that this logical volume will not be accessible on its primary physical volume during a consolidation interval. Right?
Yeah.
That's the probability that this physical volume gets turned off for the logical volume.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a probability associated with the logical volume which says that what is the probability the logical volume will not be accessible.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing is that I'm trying to see this as virtual stuff assigned to physical stuff.
Yes.
And we're using characteristics of physical stuff and also characteristics
of virtual,
virtual stuff.
But that's okay because there is a one-to-one mapping.
So we are actually giving a value to this relation.
No. No.
You could see that.
The thing
you
is
could think of it that way, but I think it's much easier. At least I understand it easier.
The probability of that logical volume to be spun down, or the physical volume to be spun down, right?
Yes.
So that's the probability. So there is no relation.
But that's a characteristic. That's the characteristic of this on this.
Say that again?
I mean, you're talking about the characteristic of something, of this virtual disk, when placed in a specific disk.
The thing is that you have many things inside many things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here you have the physical volume.
Yeah.
This is the logical volume, and this is the working set. But assigning a probability to any of them is exactly the same. But the thing is that this the probability that we have here is the probability that this is spun down. The physical
volume. But assuming that this has this.
Yeah.
Because at any other time, this could have another set of stuff on it.
No. Always will be one-to-one mapping. I mean, for one logical volume or for one working set, we will always have a master physical volume, which is the original data.
Which contains all the data.
Which contains all the data.
But this probability will be calculated again after there is a...
No, that probability remains the same. The edge weights get calculated again.
Which is the same. The probability is the same,
but what changes is to calculate where the replicas will be placed.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on.
Okay. Okay, so then we create this bipartite graph.
Yeah, bipartite.
Oh, sorry, bipartite graph. So let me see. So what was the idea for this? So the idea is that we want to assign more replicas to those logical volumes which will be or which have a higher probability to be spun down. Right?
Yeah.
So that's the idea of this
to be more precise, you can say that which have a greater will assign more replicas to logical volumes for which the physical volumes have a greater probability of being spinning down because you do not spin down logical volumes.
Yeah.
So you spin down physical volumes. This is just for your presentation when you do for
correct. Right.
The origin.
Yeah, the origin of physical volume. The primary physical volume. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So to do that we have
Right now we are doing replica placement.
The
first algorithm.
That's the first part. Yeah. And then we go to the...
active disk identification.
Active disk identification. That's exactly right. Okay, so the idea is that we have now two graphs. We have one graph which has two sets of nodes. So the first set of nodes is the logical volume.
Mm-hmm.
And the other set of nodes is the physical volume.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the idea is that we make an edge for all, from all logical volumes to physical volumes, except where it resides right now.
Yeah, except the primary copy.
Except the primary copy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, and so on.
So the second one is not correct. Right. From here to here. Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. So then we assign weight to each of these edges.
Yes.
And the weight will be the probability that the physical volume of this logical volume is
spun down.
Spun down.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So
the
you
original.
Yeah. So you start out
the source.
So let's say this, these are indexed by I, these are indexed by j, so wij, initial value is pi.
Pi,
okay. And pi is the probability that this guy is
spun down.
Physical volume is spun down.
Okay. So clear the how we create the graph.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let me see. Okay. So now. The algorithm is that you take, so first we sort these logical volumes and these physical volumes by probability of being spun down.
Yeah.
What I understand is that this start from the highest probability and this start from the lowest probability.
No. Both start from highest probability.
Okay, then the algorithm starts from here, I guess.
What starts? The
thing is that then we start, we select one physical volume, and we assign the highest, let me see how to explain this. We assign the logical volumes that have this as a target, with the highest probability of being spun down.
So the question is how do you choose the target? What is the first target you choose?
The first target you choose, or the first source?
Hmm. No, first target. You start, the replacement algorithm is based on targets. So you select a target and then decide what goes in there. And then you select the next target and decide what goes in there.
Well, in the sense that you select one target and select the sources that will
go
ahead. Replicate there.
Yeah, and then you select the next target.
And then you select the next target.
The key here is how, in the order in which you choose the targets.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, okay.
And the order in which you choose the targets is top to bottom. So you first choose the topmost target.
And why is that?
Because you want to have a replication that satisfies the ordering property. That is the goal. And eventually, this way of selecting the targets will satisfy the ordering property.
But actually, I mean, the thing is that if we select this, for instance, assuming that this goes down, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have the higher probability here, and you have the...
Oh, being spun down, yeah.
Right.
So the guy at the top will get spun down the first, will have the most probability of being spun down, and then the next, and so on.
Exactly.
So at any given time, it is what you will have is that the bottom part of this ordering is spun up, and the top parts are spun down, right? So these guys are inactive disks, and these guys are active disks. That's what will happen.
That's the idea. So you have your as long as you need more work to do, then you start.
Yeah.
That's
exactly right.
Right, but I'm trying to think why would you choose this one? Because the thing is that
to satisfy the ordering property, right? And we'll prove that. But that doesn't mean that's the best thing to do. And in the proposal, if you read the proposal,
yes, I know there is a
counterexample.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm trying even to satisfy the ordering property, because I think if you choose from here first, this one first, it still satisfies the ordering property.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
What I remember is somewhere in the paper on the proof, it says that we need to sort these, but this can be arbitrary.
No.
I'm sure the stuff is
in the paper.
In the paper, somewhere it says.
No.
I'm
no, it's not. Both of them are sorted. See? And V1 is M1 up there, right?
Yeah.
V1. Mm-hmm. So if you have V1 up there, you have M1 up there.
Yeah, somewhere it said that you could have the other way around. I mean, sorted this in the reverse.
No.
I'm sure it's.
No, I've read the paper many times.
Oh, okay.
I read this algorithm specifically many times. Many more times than I read the whole paper, so I'm pretty sure that doesn't appear anywhere.
I see. But what I mean is that it makes sense to select this first. I mean, this is, you know, not in the paper, but what I think is correct. Selecting this one first.
No, let us understand the paper first.
Okay.
Then we can talk about what are the problems with that algorithm and how can we improve it.
Okay.
Without an understanding of this algorithm, it doesn't make sense to talk about an alternate version.
Yeah. Why would you put replicas in stuff that's likely to be shut down?
That's what I'm saying.
What?
Why would you put replicas in a
to satisfy the ordering property? We'll get to that, right? I mean, first of all, the ordering property is what this algorithm is based on. So it is important for us to understand the ordering property.
Yes.
Okay, so let's look at the ordering
property. The ordering property is that if you have a logical volume that has if you have two logical volumes, I and J, and one is has a higher probability of being spun down, then that one has a higher probability of finding a space for its replica. Right? That's what I understand of the
Yes.
Yeah. So let's read the ordering property.
Yes.
Okay, so where is the ordering property? Okay, so I can't find the ordering property. Where is it?
I'm working.
Okay. So for any two logical volumes, Vi and Vj, if Vi is more likely to require a replica target than Vj at any time t during active disk identification. Okay, so this happens later on.
Okay.
When you try to identify active disks, at that point, if Vi is more likely to require replica target.
What does that mean? That means that it's more likely
to be spun down.
Spun down.
Yeah.
Okay.
If Vi is more likely to require a replica, no, not just that, sorry.
Okay.
Vi is more likely to be spun. The primary is more likely to be spun down, and there are no working set replicas in the active disk for Vi.
Okay.
Okay. So Vi is more likely to require a replica target.
Okay.
If there are no other replicas in active disks already at that time for Vi.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then Vj. So you're making a comparison here.
Okay.
One is that the primary is spun down, and the other is that there are no replicas in the set of active disks for Vi.
Okay.
So therefore, it is more likely to require a replica target than Vj, which might have a replica already in one of the active disks, although Vj might be spun down as well.
Okay. So this will place Vi more on top. Because that ordering will affect Vj. So
yes.
Vi will be more on top than Vj.
Because Vi
after this placement. After placing Vi on a non-active disk, Vi goes more.
Yeah.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're on an active disk, you mean?
On a non-active disk.
So these are active, right?
On
active.
Yes.
Yeah.
So okay. So wait a second. So the idea is that the logical volumes that are here,
right,
or the replicas of these logical volumes that are here, should be more in this side of the, in lower side of the physical volume.
No, the ordering property doesn't say anything about where replicas should be. It just says that if at time t, if I want to do active disk identification,
mm-hmm.
and I have two logical volumes that I need to pick active replicas for,
mm-hmm.
if Vi does not already have an active replica among the set of active volumes, and Vj does, then Vi should have should be more likely than Vj to find another active replica. So let's say that Vj already has an active replica.
Okay.
And Vi doesn't.
Okay.
You choose the next disk. And in that disk, there is space only for one replica. I should have Vj again there, because Vj is already here
okay.
in the active disk. So the ordering properties stipulates that in this disk you should have VI, because VJ is already existent here. Although VJ may have, let's say, higher probability of being spun down, once I place VJ here, I already created an active replica, which is guaranteed to be active, because this guy is always going to be active.
Yeah.
Right? Because you assume that you need at least one active disk.
Okay.
In this disk, you better not place VI, because you, what is the statement here? VI is not as likely to require a replica target anymore. Although before you started replica placement, let's say there was no replicas placed, VI may be up here. So it is the most likely to require a replica, because it is the most likely to be spun down. And that's why you want to place it down here, right? Once you place it down here, then you should not place VI again here. Okay. But the algorithm is exactly the opposite of what I just said, because I'm placing stuff starting from here.
Exactly. Okay.
Okay. So the reason for doing that is to satisfy the ordering property. Although I said that, well, if VI existed here, I should put something else here. Doing the reverse placement apparently does satisfy that ordering property. But if I do it this way, and if I change the edge weights in the way I'm changing, I will not satisfy the ordering property.
Really?
That's what the whole algorithm's intuition is.
Okay.
So it's counterintuitive in some sense, and our reviewers also said that. Even they thought it was wrong. But actually, it satisfies the ordering property, which might not be the greatest property to actually have. And there was some counterexample that I described in the paper.
I'm not sure that in some other version I just said that you could have an arbitrary order. I'm sure.
An arbitrary order?
Yeah.
No, the...
Okay. Maybe in some very old version.
It could be. Yeah, but I'm just referring to the latest version of the paper.
Okay. But we are not doing...
So if somebody asks you, what would you say?
What? Ask me what?
Why this doesn't make any sense?
This doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
It should make some sense, right?
Okay, so let's understand the placement algorithm.
Yeah.
And then maybe it will start making some sense. Right, let's understand the algorithm.
Right.
Okay, so first of all, we have this bipartite graph.
Okay.
Okay. And then we have edge weight setup. So
okay.
We understand that.
Okay.
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 Edge weights represent the cost benefit trade-off of placing a replica VI on MJ.
Okay.
What is the cost and benefit of creating a replica of the source node on the target node? That is what the edge captures. And that benefit keeps changing.
Right.
As I create replicas, that weight should be compensated.
Yes, because now after you create the replica, you know that you say, okay, now I have a replica of this logical volume, so that should have a less benefit, let's say, right?
So let's say I create a replica of this guy here.
Okay.
Okay, let's say this is V1, this is M1, this is M2, right? Once I create that replica, I need to change the edge weights of all the edges going out of V1.
Say that again?
Once I create a replica of V1 on M2,
okay.
I need to change the edge weights of all the edges that are coming out of V1.
Okay.
Right?
Because
the probability of this guy requiring a replica has changed.
Okay. It's lower now.
is now lower because now it is equal to the probability that this guy is turned off and this guy is turned off.
Right. Okay.
That is the probability of this guy requiring another replica.
I see. And then if you make an additional replica of the net on the next bit,
yes,
then will be the probability that you have before and this one.
And the probability that this is turned off.
Actually, it should be the probability that the three of those have turned off.
Yeah, all three,
yeah,
right? And that's why we said and. Probability
yeah.
that this is turned off and the probability that this is turned off and
yeah,
the probability.
Yeah, I'm thinking that in the algorithm, the update is the multiplication of the VI time.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. But the thing is that we are multiplying this factor many times.
What?
Right? Because each time we update the weight, we are multiplying by this.
Oh, yeah.
So we are doing
yeah.
this.
What do you mean? No, we don't do that.
Oh.
Oh. So WIK is PJ times PI.
Yeah, right. But PI is the probability. We are always repeating the same probability.
No, this is the original probability.
Exactly. So we are multiplying PI many times.
No. I mean, this was the probability of this was this by this. After this is this by this by this. After this is this by this by this by this. But this is not being repeated. That's what you're saying.
Okay, so let's say this is PI to begin with.
Okay.
So I have PI here.
Okay.
I have PI here.
Okay.
I have PI here.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
I create a replica here.
Okay.
Right.
Right.
This is, well, I should say P1. First one, P1. So the weight now, after creating the replica, is P1 times P2. P1 times P2, right? So this is the new P1. Sorry, P1 times P2. Does that make sense so far? Right? So now I create.
But wait, so the first one, you need to change the first one too, isn't it?
Which one?
I mean, this one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. All of them.
All of them.
All of them.
All of them. Okay.
Okay. So now I create replica on P3, on M3.
Okay.
Then I change this to be P1 times P3.
Okay. But then you don't account for.
P1 by P2 by P3.
Right? Exactly.
Well,
it should be.
According to the formula.
No, it's not.
It means accumulative.
Yeah, there is a problem here.
Yeah, it should be something like. And some kind of accumulator, which starts in PI, and then that accumulator is assigned to the probability of J. Right?
Yeah, this is what Akshat is saying here. I don't understand why he wants it this way. Says that the probability that VI would require a new target, M-disk, during active disk identification, is the probability that both MI, which in this case is this guy,
right,
and M-least, which is in this case this guy.
Okay. And what is M-least?
M-least is the...
Last.
M-least is the disk with the least PI. Okay, so this is the least PI. So this is the highest PI, this is the least PI, among the set of disks which contain a replica for PI.
So
at least
he says that what he's saying is that it's not an error. It's actually doing.
That's what he wants. He says that it's not that probability of this down, and this down, but it's just probability of this down
and
this down. That's what he wants.
Why is that?
In fact, it should just be it can be the probability of all three being turned off.
Okay.
I think the reason he has it this way, even assuming that is the reason, it's still wrong, I think. But one reason could be because we always, in the active disk identification, we start turning off disks from starting from here.
Okay.
So which means that if this is off, then everything on top is off.
Okay.
But that's a completely different, so this algorithm together satisfies the ordering property. But I could say that Wij is just P3, right? Because the probability of this being turned off also means is the probability of all three being turned off. Because if this is turned off, then we know that those guys are already turned off because of the way in which we choose the active disk. Right? Does that make sense?
It makes some sense, but I'm not...
So, maybe we need to also discuss the active disk identification to understand why these probabilities
Okay.
exist. Because I do agree that, ideally, if we didn't know anything about how the disks are being selected, the probability that this guy needs another replica is the probability that all these three guys are spun down,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is multiplication of P1 times P2 times P3, which seems to make sense. And if that was the case here, then it would be very nice. But that's not, right? So, obviously, Akshat is thinking about something that I cannot think of right now.
The code is, I think, is cumulative.
It is cumulative?
Yeah.
So, we made a mistake in writing the papers?
I can check all this stuff in the code, but
I remember
if it would be a strange thing like that, I would remember.
Like this?
Yeah.
Probably in the code, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should have picked on this before. I'm not like this.
Well, if you have to, we can check the code now.
Okay.
If you want.
Sure.
You know that trying to explain something is like learning twice. I think I once I heard about that.
Can I say?
Yeah. Go ahead.
It will take a while because I don't remember anything.
So you feel how it will be.
But you will be faster than anyone else, I think.
Yeah, I read that code a lot of times. So where do I get the hybrid memory stuff?
Oh, I see. So it is not hybrid memory, but SRC memory. It's cumulative. No,
this is the origin. It's sorting the first time,
uh-huh.
It sorts the first time, and then here is the big loop. So the accumulative stuff should be somewhere here. It's cumulative.
It is a previous one. There are plenty of minuses there.
No, it's not cumulative.
No, this is not.
It's not cumulative. It just says
probability of both
source and target be switched off.
Yeah.
So it's not cumulative.
Yes.
So it is exactly what it is in the paper. There is something in here. I'm sure Akshat will come up with the reason why it is the case.
Yeah.
Just cannot think.
Yeah, it's the original probability by the new stuff. Yeah, that's all.
So it's not cumulative.
Yeah, it just suits by itself.
Yeah, so it's just P1 times P3.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so... Okay. we start assigning the replica space for the topmost target M disk purchase.
Okay.
Okay, so
assuming that both are sorted by in the descendant order.
Yeah. And that is why it satisfies the ordering property, because probabilities will always
oh, I see. The thing is that as you go down, you will
multiply it by your probability is a monotonically decreasing function.
Right.
So initially it was p1 times p2, now it is p1 times p3, but p1 times p3 is actually
lower.
Is lower than p1 times p2.
Because the thing is that p3 is higher.
Yeah.
It's higher.
It's lower. P3 is lower.
It's lower. Because it's less likely to be spawned now.
Yeah. P1 times P1 is greater than P1 times P2, greater than P1 times P3. But if I had P1, if I choose P1 times P2, it should also be greater than P1 times P2 times P3. Even if I did that, I would still satisfy the ordering property.
Okay.
Right. Still satisfy the ordering property.
Why are we satisfying the ordering property? Because we are creating more replicas to those logical volumes with higher priority to respawn them.
The ordering property says that at any time comparing two logical volumes.
Mm-hmm.
If one of those logical volumes is more likely to require a replica, then it is also more likely to find the replica.
Okay.
So, just what I described before, if V1 and V2, if I already have a copy of V1 here, let's say this is my set of active disks.
Okay.
Okay. In a set of currently active disks, which I'm choosing this to be active during active disk identification, I start from here.
Okay.
I add to the set of active disks.
Okay.
And I stop at the point where I have enough active disks to cover all my working sets.
And the bandwidth, I guess.
And the bandwidth, right. So at this point, I have some active disks already in my set. But I do not cover all the replicas. I do not cover all the volumes. So let's say I do not cover volume 1. Volume 1 is the only guy that I do not cover. In the next disk that I choose, to add to the active disk, I'm guaranteed to cover volume 1 if it were possible to store the working set of V1 in that disk.
So the ordering property is
using
active disk
identification
process.
Yeah.
But the idea is that these lay out the data in such a way that the ordering property is satisfied at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm trying to understand how, because what it should happen is that this algorithm will I don't know if you have in the proof there, but how this algorithm helps in satisfying the ordering property then?
Right. So the idea is that disks from here are turned off, right?
Mm-hmm.
So first this disk will be turned off. Right?
Okay.
Which means that everything else, all the other volumes, let's say that this is the only disk that turned off.
Okay.
Which means that all these other volumes are available. Except for this guy, all the other volumes are available because their primaries are active.
Right.
So, in that kind of a situation, the probability of having a replica for this guy should be the highest in the set of active disks, right? So in other words, there should be more replicas of this guy than any other guy in the set of active disks. Correct?
Yeah.
Because all the other guys already have their primaries in active mode. So the probability of them requiring a replica is very low. It's zero actually. Because all their primaries are active.
Yeah.
But this guy's primary is switched off. And therefore, it is more likely, at this point, the need for it to have a replica is the greatest, and greater than any of the other guys. And therefore, it should have a replica. Now, once you create a replica of this guy here, and let's say that both these guys are off in some consolidation interval. The probability of this guy needing a replica is higher than all of these guys. Probability of this guy needing a replica is higher than all of these guys. Right? Because the other guys are all active. The probability of this guy, what about between these two? What is the probability of this guy needing a replica in comparison to the probability of this guy needing a replica? In this case, actually, they should have the same probability, right? Because both of them are off.
So we're assuming which one are on?
The first two are off, everything else is on.
Okay.
Right? So we are comparing the probability of the first two guys needing a replica. So, we only need to consider the edges that are coming out of the first guy and the second guy. But, and going to everything except, let me rewrite all this stuff. This already become very dirty. So, let's say I have V1. Let's say that everything below the dotted line are inactive. Active. The green ones are active, the red ones are inactive.
Okay.
Okay. So now we need to look at these edges.
Okay.
Right. All of those edges.
I guess I'm thinking that's why the algorithm go from up to down, is because is how we will do the replica if this was the only one off,
mm-hmm.
and then if these two were off and
mm-hmm.
these three were off. So.
Yeah. So that's one way of looking at it, certainly. But let's look at the probabilities right now.
Okay.
Okay. So let's say that, well, this is P1, this is P2, right? So here the probability is P1 times P2. Here it is P1 times P2.
P2, yeah.
Correct?
Right.
This guy may have a replica here. I mean, assuming that I already created a replica.
So it's actually the primary disk, right?
Yeah. So W1 already exists here.
What's
W1? W1 is the working set of this guy.
Okay.
And I put it on M2.
Okay.
And therefore the probability of this guy is P1, this edge is P1 times P2.
Okay.
Okay. Now the question is, do I have W2 here or not? Do I have W2 here or not?
Okay. Most likely you have.
Most likely, yeah, it is possible that you have it, but if its working set is too large,
exactly.
You may not have space for it.
Yeah.
It may not fit in there, right?
Actually, yeah.
Let's assume that it fit.
Okay. Okay.
And the probability here is P2 times P1.
Which is the same.
Which is the same as the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
So the probability of both of them needing a replica here is the same. Which is what you would expect.
Because both of them are off.
Because if both of them are off, then both of them need to have a replica in this set.
Same probability.
The same probability. Makes sense, right? Now, the probability would differ. Let's say there was no space for W2 up here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Then P2, then this guy would be just P2.
Could be that that's the reason for why it's not commutative.
Okay.
I don't know, but if you don't make them commutative, then you won't have that nice property that we just saw, that it's the same value. I don't know exactly, I have to think more about that. Anyway.
Oh, so you mean that
thing is that if you multiply P1, P2, P3, then it's not the same as, oh, it should be the same. I think it's the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now, if let's say that I couldn't fit W2 in up here,
mm-hmm.
then this guy has a higher probability of needing a replica down here
mm-hmm.
than this.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does make sense, and that also.
Yeah, because that makes sense.
Doesn't have a replica, so it's P2.
So P2 doesn't have any replica at all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, P1 has a replica, but it's off. The question is, who is more likely to need a replica at this point, P1 or P2? Probably
P1.
P2.
That is based on what?
Small problem to me that both of them do not have any replicas in the active set. Right.
But the thing is that if you spin up the next disk,
yeah,
you have both.
Which next disk, this guy?
Mm-hmm.
You have both. That's true. But if I spin down the next disk, what about that? If I spin down the next disk.
Mm-hmm.
If I spin down the next disk, then, and let's say that M3 doesn't have P1, doesn't have W1 or W2.
Mm-hmm.
You could either have one or both or none, right? That's the possibility. So what are the possibility? W1 or W2 or W1, W2, or
none.
Those are the possibilities. So if I spin down M3, what about this case? I have W1. I have W1, which means that
the reason... Why do you have W1?
the reason I have W1 is because there was not enough space for W2. That is the only thing. That was the only reason you cannot have W1 in there.
Okay.
Right? If you do not have space, then you cannot really do anything. The space issue actually is addressed by the sub-volume creation. So here's the thing, right? We can actually completely bypass the space issue altogether.
Mm-hmm.
If we bypass the space issue, then I cannot have this. Well, if we bypass the space issue, then I should have W2 up here.
Well, part of W2.
Part of W2.
On your subset. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, wait a minute. If we are doing that, then we should write all of these also in sub-volumes.
Yeah.
We cannot write this in entire volume.
Let's not do that.
But can we make an assumption? Let's make a simplifying assumption right now that space is not an issue.
Okay. Makes sense.
Right? If space is not an issue, then I cannot have this case. Actually, I could. I cannot have this. That's the only thing I cannot have. I cannot have this either. So I'll have both of them. Because they have equal probability of... So if I spin down these two, then I have both these copies.
By the way, we checked at the wrong place. This is for replica placement, not for active disk identification.
We are doing replica placement. Right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It is cumulative.
Where it is a cumulative.
Yeah, it is cumulative.
Why?
I can show you exactly what it's doing. This piece of code. Maybe
okay.
If you want, if it helps.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. If it helps.
So it has, can I use the same name?
Yeah.
Be confused.
Yeah, sure.
These are replicas. Replica one, replica two.
And replicas.
Yeah. And just to use, it does the reverse, so this will be J. Yeah.
J?
Yeah, it's seeing the things on the opposite way.
It's just to make it more fun.
Yeah, just to make it more fun, I should love to do that. The probability is not the probability being off, the probability there is of being on. And this is J and this is I.
Okay.
Yeah, this one, this two.
I think this is what they teach in corporates. You write code so that no one can see that. Obfuscation. It's 101. Corporate 101. You write code for your company so no other company can see it.
The index will be J. The index will be J, but the maximum, assuming it's 1-to-1, will be the same.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
It's K.
Mm-hmm.
But just to you do the same stuff and not be confused, this is I and this is J.
Okay.
So it sorts this by the probability. In case of being off, it will be, let's say we put more off on top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is
and the same.
This one?
Okay, so it's not reverse.
No, it's exactly, yeah. It's
okay.
Like that.
Okay.
So it works by...
So wait. So you have the lowest probability in the bottom.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is more off. Off is more off. Okay.
Off is more off.
Uh-huh.
Then it's the same order.
Yeah, exactly.
But with the probabilities.
Exactly.
Okay.
So it works by disk and then by replicas. So let's say for this third disk.
Well, the second disk.
Well, so yeah. Sure. Sorry.
Well,
it gives a
you really need your glasses, I think.
So it gives it gives a probability to each one of these.
Uh-huh.
Right? And
okay, you have that.
Yeah, you have that. And
okay.
You sort it.
Okay.
The thing is that after each iteration, you will change the order of these ones. and these will remain exactly the same.
You would have changed the order.
Yeah, that's basically the weight.
So you work first by disk.
Okay.
So for this first disk,
okay,
you start putting stuff only considering capacity in space, not but maximum bandwidth.
But you will place those.
So you start putting like this. You put this one here.
Well,
this
actually,
one here.
That doesn't make sense.
Until this gets filled up.
Mm-hmm. You mean not the first
yeah.
one, because the first one is you already are there, so doesn't make sense.
Well, I mean jumping the stuff that is not in the same.
So
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And until this gets filled up.
Okay.
And then you move on to the next one. And each
okay.
time you make an assignment.
Hmm.
Actually, this loop is for replicas and okay.
Each time you make it,
yeah.
each time you assign a replica,
yeah.
you update the weight.
Each time you assign this, you update the actually just the probability of this one.
Yeah, it's cumulative. I see.
It's just the probability of this.
Mm-hmm.
So now this p, let's say this had a probability p 1.
Mm-hmm.
Now will be after you assign it to this one. Now would be P1 prime.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is
lower.
Yes. Actually, I mean, we're working in sorry. We're working on this disk, right? So this, because it's the same, you won't use it.
Okay.
So it moves to this one.
Okay.
And the probability of this one would change.
Okay.
Now we'll have a P2 prime.
Okay.
And let's say this disk gets filled up.
Okay.
It's already filled.
Then you go to
say you move to all the disks, there is no space, there is no space, there is space. Let's say there is a space for these replicas.
Mm-hmm.
Then you put.
So you can actually skip replicas because there is
because
no space.
Because there is no space.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. So now this will change to probability k prime.
Mm-hmm.
After you work on all of these, you sort it. You order stuff.
Mm-hmm. Again.
So maybe it will happen that And this probability is the probability of this by this.
Mm-hmm.
The new P2 prime is the probability of 2
mm-hmm.
by the times the probability of D1.
Mm-hmm. 1.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of 1.
Okay.
After you saw all the replicas,
okay.
you order stuff. So maybe what will happen is that R3 will go before R2.
Okay. It changed the order.
You will change the order.
Okay.
And you do the same for the next list.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I understood from the paper too.
That's all.
Yeah. So I think that's the understanding we had already.
Right, but I don't understand is how that helps in keeping the order in property.
It's cumulative.
Right? It is cumulative.
In the code,
it's cumulative. So which means that, which makes sense actually.
Yes.
Cumulative
makes more sense. Actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
So which means this was written incorrectly.
Okay, so then again, I guess, how does that help in the ordinary problem?
Yeah, that's the big question. And I checked, it's really sorting this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know, it doesn't make sense.
So what you have to think about is that during the active disk selection, what is the iterative step? The iterative step is to add another disk
mm-hmm.
or... Yeah, to add another disk so that you can serve all the replicas. So when you add another disk, what is the probability of requiring replicas for each logical volume?
Say that again.
Right. So let's see. Let me erase this. You have a set of active disks. These are the
okay.
green ones, right? But it turns out that you cannot cover all the replicas.
Okay.
Or
the bandwidth.
Or the bandwidth, right. Well, if you cannot cover the bandwidth, then it's not a problem because you already covered all the replicas. Then I cannot reason about ordering property at that point.
Okay.
Because ordering property is only effective when you need a replica.
Okay.
In this case, if you are only bound by bandwidth, you don't need replicas anymore. You just need more spindles.
Right.
So let's not consider that case. Let us
okay.
consider the case where we are still missing replicas.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay.
So let's say that the currently, actually no, let me just say that this is also
off
at this point. Okay. So M4 onwards is on, M1, M2, M3 are off. But the set of active disks currently is not sufficient to serve, to cover all the replicas. So now I'm going to switch on M3. At this point, the probability of these guys needing a replica, first of all, is greater than the probability of any of these guys needing a replica.
Okay.
Right?
That makes sense.
Therefore, in M3, I should have more of these guys than these guys. Correct?
Okay.
Yeah, but what will happen is that the time you get to M3, those on top will get to be down.
Say that again? Correct.
Which one? Oh, the probabilities?
I mean, the time you get to these, these were already assigned replicas. These were already assigned stretch space. So these will already be a little bit down.
Their probabilities.
Exactly.
Their probabilities will be down. The probabilities of them will be as down as the probability of both of them being turned off.
Yes.
Right? The probability of both of them being turned off is higher than the probability of any of these guys being turned off.
So you're saying it will actually get up?
Therefore, you will still have a replica of this guy before you have a replica of any of these guys. That's why I think that is the reason you have to start placing from the top, because if you start placing these guys down here, then they will not be up here, which is where they are more critical.
I mean,
because at this point it's very sensitive. This guy, if it doesn't have a copy of these two, then you cannot just keep this guy active. You'll have to switch on all of three of them. Right? And that's why I think it's important to start placing from the top rather than from the bottom.
Yeah, it's really counterintuitive, but I think I understand better. Yeah,
I mean, by assigning stuff, you're actually putting it more on top. I mean, by assigning to these guys.
Yeah.
But
if you assign it here, you push them down.
Yeah.
And then
you
will not have replicas here, which is where it is critical.
Yes.
But it doesn't matter if you have a replica there, because you already have it down, right?
It's a good point too.
But you have it even upper.
No, but what I'm saying is that if you assign in the reverse way, which I think is more intuitive, right? Then it doesn't matter. I mean, at that point, it won't be critical, because those will be assigned to the bottom, physical bottom, already. So that's not a problem.
But the thing is that they will be assigned here anyway, as long as the probabilities add up, right? Eventually, when you get to this point, what is the probability that this requires a replica? These two require a replica here. It's the probability that this is turned off, and the probability that all the other replicas also turned off, right? Now, if the probability of all the other replicas also turned off is high, then you will create a replica anyway. But I guess your question is somewhat different. Your question is, what if I start from here? Will I not still satisfy the ordering property?
We won't?
I don't know. I'm not sure about that. But what the claim is that this placement actually does satisfy the ordering property.
Right.
So the first thing is that we need to agree to that.
Yes, it seems to satisfy the ordering property.
Did we meet at 3 or 4?
3.
Oh, yeah, but 4 o'clock I had a meeting with you guys on.
Yeah,
so we are fine.
Yeah, I know.
Now we're confused. Okay, so the question then is, let's see what happens if we start creating replicas down here. Start creating replicas down there. Yeah, I remember talking about this with Akshat, and he had some explanation at that point which was convincing, but I can't remember it right now.
What I was thinking is, I mean, it's interesting to see, I didn't see that before, but in terms of probability of being shut down, it could be the case that it's better to have, let's say, these three replicas in these three than having just one replica on this one.
Replica for which one?
Let's say you're talking about volume one.
Okay.
You're only concerned about volume one.
Okay.
All your data is on volume one. You want to keep your volume one on.
Yeah.
So in terms of probability of being shut down, it might be the case that it's more convenient for your data to be on these three replicas, on these three places that are somehow likely to be shut down, compared to this one.
Why?
It could be the case.
But why?
Because let's say the probability of this guy to be shut down is something. Let's say 2. Let's say 2%.
Okay.
2-1. Let's say it's 2%. 2%.
But it's high. These guys are high.
Let's say this is 8.
Yeah.
But let's say the probability of these ones are
19.
Let's say 3 by 3 by 3.
These have to be higher, right? Are we talking about
I'm looking this stuff in the opposite way. So to use the same example, this has high probability of being on.
Yes.
Okay. Right? This has less probability of being on.
Yes.
So it might be the case in terms of probability of being on and off that it's more convenient for you to have these replicas on this tree than have only one replica on this.
What?
You see?
No,
yeah, you don't
that's
see.
A good point. Yeah.
So my intuition was that you can conserve this something property
or
both
property.
The ordering property in
both
ways.
Ways.
Yes, because you can have both cases. I mean, you can have more probability of being on by having replicas from stuff that's not very likely to be on in many of them than in one that is very likely to be on. By having many copies on many things that are not on so often, you can have more probability.
Okay.
You see?
So this is to prove what?
That was the origin idea of my intuition, that maybe you can preserve the organic property in both ways.
So there's one observation there you made, which I think we should follow up on, which is that if we start from placing here, it is, and we adjust the probabilities in exactly the same way, what we'll probably end up with is only one copy of V1 over here.
Yes.
Because the probability of now having a replica of V1 here is probability of this guy times the probability of this guy.
Mm-hmm.
The probability of this guy being off is very low. So the probability of this guy requiring another replica is very low. So you won't create any more replicas of V1. You start creating replicas of V2, V3, and so on. Right?
Okay. So that's fine, right? As long as you have space.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, that's the point. Yeah, okay. Okay, so what is... This guy is the most likely to be off.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
So it is in my benefit to have multiple replicas of this guy.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So that I can choose, okay, if this is not available, well, I can use this guy, or if I can use this guy. So this, by creating more replicas of this, you are increasing the flexibility during active disk selection.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. So the idea is that if you do the other way, then you have only two options, which is the last one or the first one.
Yeah.
While in this case, you have more options.
You have more options.
More likely will have more replicas in all of this.
Right. Maybe the issue will be not at the extremes, but right at the middle. What about replicas of the guys in the center, which are either on or off a lot? The probability is sort of in midway, right? Is it as likely to be turned off or as likely to be turned on? this guy is very likely to be turned off. This guy is least likely to be turned off, right? So maybe they are not the cases that we should worry about so much. What about the guys in between? Where are their replicas? I want these guys to be replicated down here.
Mm-hmm.
But if I replicate this guy down here, then I'm eating up space. I don't have space for these guys. Right?
Yeah, this might be a little bit stupid, but it's confusing me a lot. I mean, why multiplying, let's say probabilities are in 0 to 1, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why multiplying 0.5 to 0.5 will make it higher? It makes it lower. You're not multiplying 5 by 5.
Yeah.
You're actually making it lower.
Yeah, sure.
So by assigning these to these, you're not putting it up, you're putting them down.
Yeah, the probability of it being...
It goes down.
It goes down, not
yeah,
up.
Yeah, that's...
But we set up before.
No.
We set up.
No, the probability goes down. The probability of this guy, or maybe I said, set down, but I meant up, actually. Or when I set up and went okay. The probability of this guy requiring another replica when it already has a replica should be lower.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So
and the probability of requiring a replica is the probability that all that its main copy
mm-hmm.
and all the replicas are off. And that's the multiplication of all those probabilities.
Yeah. So you can think of this another way, right? Let's say I start placing this stuff from here. I start using up all my space.
Okay.
And the only place I can create replicas for these guys is up here.
Okay.
Which means that I need to keep all of them on. I need to keep all of them on. I don't have any flexibility down here to switch off this because all their replicas are up there, which are the least probability to be active.
Okay.
Right?
Right. Well, in the first place, it's less likely in those cases you you have a replica, right? Because the probability of being switched off is lower anyway.
Yeah, but then you also want to switch off selectively in this space, right? Because we want perfect energy proportionality. We want to just keep one volume on.
Okay.
Right? And if I use up all my space with stuff from up here,
mm-hmm.
then to replicate these volumes, I have to go up there.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is that all these volumes at the bottom should always be on, right? Because all of the replicas are above. That's another way of looking at this.
But you think Akshat was thinking on that?
I think so. I think that's what
yeah.
he... Yeah.
Yeah. So it's better. What you're saying is better to have one good replica, I mean one good destination, instead of having one good destination like this, it's better to have 10 kind of bad, but you have more flexibility.
Yeah. Yeah, that's basically it. Well, actually, this may not necessarily be a good destination because it's good for this guy, but it's not good for the other guys, right?
Well, it's good for any of these.
No, I mean, if I create a replica of this guy down here, it's using up space, which I could have used for any of these guys. So it's bad for these guys that I create a replica of
this guy. Yeah. I was thinking if you assign this to this, it would be for this.
Yeah, but if I assign this to this,
it's only convenient for that. Yeah.
It's only convenient for that one. In fact, I'm using up space down here, which is sort of sensitive. The other way to look at this is if I turn it off, if I turn this guy off, I'm actually okay as long as one of the guys at the below it have a replica. I don't have need to put it right at the most active disk, right? But if I look at this guy. For this guy, the replica makes sense only if it is below. For anyone, the replica makes sense only if it is below, right? So how do you use up the space up here, the extra space? You can use up the space up here by creating replicas of the guys above it, right? So it makes sense to replicate first immediately below it, then all the way at the bottom.
Yeah.
so that we can get more flexibility.
So it's better to replicate.
So it's counterintuitive, and I think this is the explanation that Akshat gave me a long time back.
Yeah. I always thought that this should be an easy algorithm.
So the probability of this one, let's say, is 0.3, and the probability of this one is 0.5, and this one is 0.5. So if you use these two, it's more likely to be on, and use like who's using this one. Because it's 0.25, right? I mean, using these two, by using these two disks, you have the probability of being shut down of 0.25. So it's better in terms of probability of being on to use these two disks than using only one disk.
Yeah, no, I don't understand what that means.
I mean, the probability
of being on these disks. Well, let me see if I understand too. So the idea is that it's less likely that you have two disks off than one, even when the one that you want to be off is the less likely to be off, right?
Yes.
Something like that.
Yes.
So it's less.
You're saying the probability that these two are off.
Exactly.
Is less likely.
It's less likely than
the probability
off
of this guy is being off.
So at the end, what I was thinking is,
and it's even lower to have these three than these.
Exactly.
Than
yes.
One.
Yes.
Okay.
It, why it's better to have these off, I mean, copies on these compared to these, I think it's better because of what you say, more flexibility, and many other reasons. For example, it is more likely to be on because it's more used.
Mm-hmm.
So you prefer to use to have copies on stuff that is not highly used and copies on stuff that is really used.
So what are you saying? This guy is going to be on, okay?
Okay, so what I'm saying is that why is better to have copies on M2 and M1?
Of which one?
Of whatever, doesn't matter.
Okay.
Compared to having copies on just this.
Oh, having two copies.
Exactly.
One
it's
one
better first because having copies on these two, you have less likely to be off because it's 0.25 compared to 3.
Okay.
That's the first reason. The second reason is because you have more flexibility, you have two disks.
Mm-hmm.
The third reason is because this was more very likely to be on because we saw that it's highly used compared to these two. So I guess that's enough for me.
Yeah, I mean, what you're saying makes sense for volumes which are above here. But for volumes which are below here, having two replicas here versus one replica here, this is actually better.
That's actually better.
Yeah, this is actually better because the sequence in which I'm switching on this is like this. So if I get to this point, I don't need any more replicas up there. I'd much rather have a replica down here than up there.
No, I mean, you switch up this place from more
yeah,
likely to
yeah,
be
yeah,
up.
Yeah. Yeah, but, oh yeah, sorry. If I switch up this way, and if I switch this off, and these guys are useless. And because they're already off. So for me, to have two replicas up here, it's completely pointless.
No, but you saw by probabilities, these having two these with very low probability of being on. I mean, having 10 these with very low probability of being on is better than having only one these. I mean, that this is the example.
Yeah, in choosing the active replica, that's true.
But that's, I think you're right if you assume that all the physical volumes, I mean if you can switch them off in an arbitrary order.
Yeah.
But the thing is that here is not arbitrary. You're going from up to down. So when you, for instance, switch off M3, all the rest is switched off anyway.
These guys are off. So yes. Having a copy of V3 up there doesn't help me.
Yeah.
Because those
yeah.
guys are off too.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think that's
yeah.
why it makes sense to
yeah.
leave space, empty space for guys below to keep replicas here.
Yeah.
That makes more sense. So, okay, so the idea is that we need to keep... So, okay, it makes sense that in logical volumes only make replicas in the lower physical volumes.
Yes.
So we need to reserve space for them, and that's why we start from here, assigning replicas from the higher volume. That makes sense, I think.
Yeah, I think that's what Akshat told me at that point. Now I remember.
Yeah.
Now the other question is, does if I choose it the reverse way, does it satisfy ordering property or not?
I don't know. It would be nice to have an experiment with that. Also, well, I don't know if it satisfies them. Property. So again, the ordering property is given to...
If in choosing the next active disk, if there is an already active volume, then I should have that. I don't need a replica of that in the next active disk.
Right. So okay.
that's what I need to worry about. In,
so
in the
ideally. The other one has a higher probability of having a replica in the next physical volume to be on.
I think the other guy doesn't
satisfy. Why?
Okay, so let's say I may be wrong about this, but let me walk through this. So let's say I start switching on volumes this way, right? Switching off.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I do the exact opposite thing. I start switching on volumes this way. So I first switch on this guy.
Off or on?
On. Then switch on this guy. So I'm just trying to figure out how many active disks I need.
Okay.
Right, so I keep adding active disks. As I need more, I add more. Right?
Okay.
So I switch on one, I switch on two, and so on. So at some point, I still need another active disk because I do not cover all the replicas.
Okay.
So at this point, when I add another disk, the probability of these guys needing a replica is zero, right? Because all of these are already active.
Okay.
Whereas the probability of these guys needing a replica is higher. Potentially
exactly.
Higher.
Not necessary, because we in theory, if we did the reverse algorithm, we should have assigned B1 to MN, right?
Yeah.
So...
No, but then it's not necessary that I have a replica of, let's say this is not B3, let's say this is VK, right? And this is VK minus 1. Let's say I don't have a replica of VK minus 1 down here because all the space is used up by the guys up here, right? In the more intuitive mapping.
So you need to switch that on.
So I need to switch that on. VK minus 1 is not the one that I should be focusing on. I should be focusing on VK minus 2. Because when I switch on VK minus 1, I have VK minus 1. So I don't really need a replica of VK minus 1. I need a replica of VK minus 2.
Right.
So the question is, the probability of VK minus 2 having a replica on MK minus 1 versus the probability of any of these guys having a replica on MK minus 1. How do I compare that with this other more intuitive placement algorithm? What is the probability that this MK minus 1... Okay, so let's say that... Oh, I think even the other guy satisfies the ordering property. Okay, so let's say that I have replicas of VK, V1 to VK minus 3 in all these guys down here, one of these guys. So I'm covered for V1 to VK minus 3, but I'm not covered VK minus 2. What is the probability that in NK minus 1 I have VK minus 2, replica of VK minus 2?
Repeat the question.
The probability of replica of VK minus 2 existing on NK minus 1 as compared to the probability of other replicas existing on NK minus 1. Well, right now, the only guy I need to worry about is VK minus 2 because the guys on top have replicas down here. All the guys below are already on, so they don't need replicas. So what is the probability of a replica of VK minus 2 existing on MK minus 1 compared to the probability of replicas of other guys existing on MK minus 1?
So in the activation, identification, you start from the bottom and start adding disks if you need more.
Yes.
That's the idea.
I think both work. Both satisfy the ordering property, maybe. Why is one better than the other? Because of the flexibility for choosing guys in the lower half to be powered on selectively. Discuss this with Akshat in our next meeting. Whenever you want to have it.
I prefer to have it on Tuesday because I want to start doing the presentation as soon as possible. It's complicated to get all the stuff.
Yeah, so
probably we can do it on Tuesday. As we usually do.
You usually do it on Tuesday
or on Monday?
Monday.
I guess I would like to have a set of questions first.
Okay, so do you have any other questions other than the algorithmic one?
I think that was so off. Yeah, I guess I didn't went through the optimization. I don't really know if I have a question there or not. And the fairness of, I think it is.
Yeah, I guess you want to plan how much, because it's a really dense paper, there is a lot of stuff in here.
Yes.
Right, so you have to sort of talk at a higher level than what's in the paper. Talk more abstract for the entire talk.
Yeah. Yeah, but I need to be prepared because I don't know what kind of questions you will have.
Absolutely, no. Then you have to be very well prepared with the with all the material. But I'm saying from the standpoint of the talk, you probably want to have a more abstract talk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then
I mean,
going
to
the specific details of the.
I don't think we're going to the details of that, right?
Yeah.
Looking. Always have a really smart guy catching up some of these.
Yeah, I mean, some of these guys read the paper before they come.
Yeah.
And they have their questions ready.
Yeah.
You can ask you outside, they have to ask you from other people.
Yeah, because it's very hard to catch people outside, right?
Well, yeah.
When you're standing on stage, you're right there. It's very easy at that point. So a lot of people prefer to ask offline. Because they just don't want to ask in front of everyone.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. The question part is tricky because it's, I mean, it's good in the sense that everybody listens to the question. But I don't know, sometimes you can make probably some weird question that, or some stupid question, or you make the presenter, you know, I don't know,
No, I mean, you know, the one thing is that you know the most about your work, right? So
that's true, yeah.
So you
I think that's why people can do presentations, or why they couldn't.
Yeah, so if there is a question that let's say you have never thought about, then you can first of all say that this is something that we didn't do, okay?
Right.
And then maybe give some reasonable answer based on what you think is a reasonable answer, right, at that time. That's the best you can do.
Yeah.
We haven't looked at that aspect. It's something worth doing, but this is what seems like a reasonable thing to do. Okay, and then...
Yeah. So, well, I think we discussed a lot about this. This is nice. I still, I need to think more about it, I guess, but I understand now why the ordering is that way, more or less, and what is the vision behind it, but I still don't understand how these ensure the ordering properly.
Which one, the other one?
The replica selection algorithm.
How it ensures the ordering property?
Yes. I mean, how this helps in the ordering property for the
active disk selection.
Yeah. Because the thing is that you want...
Yeah, that's because you start placing stuff from the top. That's why you satisfy ordering property. So let's say that I have replicas of V1 and M2 and M3,
okay.
Right? And let's say I switch off all of these guys, right? I switch off M1, M2, and M3. Then in M4, first I will start by placing the guys here which have the least probability or the most probability of requiring a replica. So let's say V1. V1's probability of requiring a replica is the probability that this guy is turned off and this guy is turned off and this guy is turned off.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which is the case now.
Okay.
Everyone else down here?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. So I'm not going to place any of these guys here. It is more important to place V1 here than these guys here. So I will place V1 here in favor of placing replicas of these guys. And that's why it satisfies the ordering property, because V1 is more likely at this point to require a replica than any of these guys.
Of course.
And that is reflected in the replica placement. So M4 contains V1, does not contain any of these guys, because they do not
probability
of them requiring a replica is lower.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing is that after you assign the first replica of V1, the probability will lower, right?
The probability will lower. That's why I'm thinking, the probability will lower. That's true. But the probability of all of these being turned off should be still higher than the probability of this guy being turned off.
The thing is that the probability will lower, which means that probably V2 will kick up. The thing is that when you are assigning... Okay, so then you will assign V2 disk lower in this part, right?
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that when you are selecting disk to be on, you are selecting this,
mm-hmm.
and at some point you find that you have a replica for V2, let's say in M3. If you have a replica of V2 in M3, then most likely, the previous physical volumes will have B1,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
Because B2 is there.
Yeah.
It's exactly the reverse.
Mm-hmm.
It's because B2 is there that B1 will have a more likely.
Yeah. So there is a proof in the appendix.
Yeah, I think that will help.
Yeah, so it might be a good idea to look at that.
Yeah. But. Okay. I think I have my intuition now.
I think the key though is Akshat. He will have the answers, I hope. You have all the important answers.
Yeah. It would be nice to solve this problem. I think that's...
in the algorithms course.
Yes. I think that's probably what I'm doing. Solving this in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of the problems in the proposal.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Ricardo, what are you doing for the algorithms course? Did you decide?
I guess scheduling.
The TDM scheduling?
Yeah. Yeah, that can be useful, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like all of us working on different sites, but of course.
I mean, my big concern is would be nice. I mean, I'm in fourth year, so it would be nice to finally follow some path. Like, I don't have the path, so I guess for the moment that's fine.
Hmm. Well, we should talk about that a little bit more.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about it, but I'm not sure.
So the stuff that you did in IRL, there are two projects, right? Which
yes.
Which are currently under review or revision or whatever.
Right.
So those are, if any of those get accepted,
that could be my path.
Could be.
Yeah.
You might want to think about tying all of these things together.
Yeah.
Right?
I was also thinking about it, but it's just too unrelated, everything to religion. So.
Have you seen this PhD comic? Do you know about PhD comics?
Yeah. I used to read it.
That was something like this girl goes with her advisor, right?
Yeah.
And
let me stop this. You don't need this recording.
And he said something like.